Please open your Bibles to the book of 2 Peter, first chapter, 2 Peter chapter 1, in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1317, page 1317, shortly after the book of Hebrews, then James, then 1 and 2 Peter. Start with verse 15 and read through the end of the chapter, verse 21. The text verse is the 18th verse. We'll read these verses responsively, and may we stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. And let's finish together, please. For the prophecy came not in time by the will of man, but by holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And let's pray. And Father, thou hast delighted our hearts already this evening, and we thank thee for the music of the season. But more especially, we thank thee for thy word, that which makes it all possible. Thank you for this evening hour and now for the preaching of thy word, and we pray for thy blessing upon our hearing of the word and the preaching of it. Make it all just come together in just the right way, in the way that would please thee and get the honor and glory, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to speak this evening on the subject, be faithful to the mount. Dealing with the subject of the mount of transfiguration, when we read a while ago from the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, Peter told about the wonderful experience that they had in the mount when they got to see prophecy unveiled. And this is the message tonight. Be faithful to your mount, or your mountain, or the mount. Back down to somewhere in your life, you had a mountaintop experience. Don't ever discredit it. Always be faithful to it. Always carry out the decisions that you made then. Always continue fulfilling and keeping the promises you made then. It's a lot better to trust the decision you made years ago on the mountain and to make a new one in the valley now. And Peter said, I remember the mount. I remember the time of the transfiguration. Our Father, bless the message tonight. And I pray you'd give us truths that'll help us to stay in the battle, stay on the firing line, stay busy for God, and keep the commitments we made a lifetime ago. In Jesus' name, amen. It really seems strange, doesn't it? That a little 17-year-old introverted boy could make a decision at a quarter of midnight nearly a half a century ago. And 42 years later, nearly 41 or two, he's still carrying out the decision he made that night. Really, it's amazing when you stop and think about it. Peter was called by our Lord to the Mount of Transfiguration. I think it was Mount Tabor. It may have been Mount Hermon. It matters not. But he was called to the Mount of Transfiguration. And there with James and John and our Lord, they fellowshipped with Moses and Elijah in that little preview, sneak preview of the kingdom age. They talked about the coming death of Christ. Peter, James, John, Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. Jesus was transfigured and given for a few moments the glorified body that will be His, that is now His, and will be for eternity. Are you listening? Everybody right this way. Everybody right this way. Do your fingernails later. I've got something to tell you. The Lord Jesus received or borrowed His glorified body. And there Peter saw Him in eternal splendor. 35 years later, Peter's facing death, facing martyrdom. And Peter recounts, he'd never forgotten what happened on the mount. He told about it. He thought about it. It was the impelling and compelling thing of his ministry, his life, the thing that kept him going. It was the fuel that burned and caused the fire in his soul. He never forgot it. And now death is coming. And Peter continues to think about what happened in the mount. The greatest moment of Peter's life, apart from his salvation, was the transfiguration of his Lord. Part of Peter's life was spent as a fisherman. Part of his life was spent following the Savior and learning from Him. A part of his life was spent in a backslidden condition. And many years were spent as a faithful missionary, proclaiming the gospel he had learned as he walked and talked with Jesus in the hills of Judea and the shores of Galilee. But of all the things of Peter's life, and he had some wonderful things that happened to him, a thing that lingered in his mind the most was what happened on the mount. One time he spent a while on a mountaintop. He saw Jesus in His apocalyptic glory. He felt the robes of everlasting purity and power. He got to visit the coming kingdom, and the splendor of that moment never faded. And now he's suffering. The nails will soon pierce his hands, just like they pierced the hands of his lovely Lord. He'll be crucified, just like Jesus was, except upside down, because he felt unworthy to be crucified exactly as his Savior. And he requested that they turn his body upside down, turn the cross upside down, and crucify him upside down. He comes to the closing hour. And in the closing hour, the thing that occupies the screen of his mind the most is the transfiguration, what he saw on the mount. Let me illustrate. Follow me very carefully. Here's a traveler going on a trip to a great city. At the beginning of that trip, the road leads over a high hill. And as this traveler ascends to the peak of this high hill and summit, he can look down and see a beautiful city flashing in the sun. That's where he's going. Now, between that city and the high peak where he stands now is a valley. There are shadows, animals, serpents, clouds, depths. But he gets a glimpse of the city. And as he descends into the valley and takes his journey, he must keep in his mind the city he saw from the peak, from the summit. And that's why God usually in a life takes us sometime in the early days of our lives to a mountain peak. Do you remember yours? You're thinking of it right now. You recall that day back yonder years ago when you ascended to a high place and on the mountain peak you had an experience with God as it were your own little transfiguration? Remember? You're thinking about it now, aren't you? That time when you were closer to God
Probably you felt closer to God than any other time in your life. And by the way, that time when you made the decisions that would affect your entire life. Your mountain peak. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Don't disobey the decisions you made on the mountain. Illustration. 48 years ago, last August. No, next August. 48 years ago, next August. I, as a little 11-year-old lad, received Christ as my Savior. I don't need to get assurance every day. All I've got to do is remember the mountain. That's all I've got to do. God doesn't have to come to me every day and say, I'm still saved. All I've got to do is recall that Sunday night on a hot August night when just outside the back door of the Fernwood Baptist Church, I looked up and received Christ as my Savior. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on Thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice until its rapture's all abroad. Happy day, happy day. When Jesus washed my sins away, He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day. When Jesus washed my sins away on the mountaintop, I trusted Jesus and knew I was saved. And God does not have to come to me every week and say I'm saved again. I am trusting what happened on the mountain. Illustration. 41 years ago this month, as a little introverted fella, I was called to preach the gospel. 41 years ago, this month, I was taken to a mount. There on the mount, God said, my son, it is meant for you to be a preacher of the gospel. I don't need to receive another call. All I've got to do is remember the mount. God does not have to assure me again, ever, ever, that He called me to preach. I remember. I know. No doubt. 'Tis done. It's all settled. Why? Because I remember the mount. And I am willing to rest my eternity and my eternal salvation and my standing at the judgment seat of Christ on what happened at the mount when I trusted Christ as my Savior. And I'm willing to risk my entire life and the occupation and vocation and the turning of my life and the future of my life, all of it, on what happened 41 years ago when God took me on the mount and said, I want you to be a preacher. Faithful to the mount. Illustration. 27 years ago this month, I received a letter from the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. I did not even know where Hammond, Indiana was located. I just knew that's probably where they made Hammond organs. It is not where they make Hammond organs. It's where they make Sutton. But I did not know where Hammond, Indiana was. I received a letter of inquiry, the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. And through a series of circumstances, and through hours and hours and hours and days and nights of prayer, I went on a mountain. And God told me He wanted me to become pastor of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. God does not need to reassure me about that anymore. It's all settled. I settled it on the mount. And I'm willing to trust my eternity on what happened 48 years ago on the mount when I trusted Jesus. And I'm willing to trust my entire life and its activity on what I saw on the mount 41 years ago when God called me to preach. And I'm willing to risk my life and my future in the ministry on what happened on the mount 27 years ago when I received the letter, and 26 and a half years ago when I was sure in my own heart that God was calling me to Hammond, Indiana. I want to say this, folks. We question too much what happened on the mount. You don't have to get assurance about that. You got it once, that's it. It happened on the mount. You got saved on the mount, then put it in an envelope, seal it, forget it, and go on to glory. You got called to preach on the mount, forget it. God hasn't got to call you every day. God hasn't got to confirm your call. Just get busy, keep going. Remember the mount. 42 years ago, I won my first soul to Jesus Christ. Oh, what a mountaintop it was. Oh, what an ecstasy as I ascended to the mount. I don't need to have that. I don't have to get recharged over and over again. I got charged enough. Brother, God gave me a Delco battery that never needs to be recharged. Why? Because I became a soul winner. And now for these years, I've stood up for soul winning. Brother, I've preached soul winning. I've hollered soul winning. I've practiced soul winning. I've exalted soul winning. And you can't say enough good about soul winning as far as I'm concerned. Why? Because back yonder on the mount, it's all settled. On the mount. Now, let me give you six things about the mount. I said the sermon title is Be Faithful to the Mount. Paul said, I cannot be disobedient to the heavenly vision. What's Paul saying? Back down in the early days, this young man, going to Damascus to persecute some Christians. The Apostle Paul was stricken there on the Damascus road, and there he saw the light, and yet he was blinded at the same time. And the voice said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul said, Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Lord, what would thou have me do? And that day, Saul became a Christian, was born again. And he said, I must not be disobedient to the heavenly vision. I'm talking to folks tonight. They're disobedient to the mount. There was a day when God called you to a certain task and you surrendered, but you got down in the valley and now you're no longer obeying the call of God on the mount. I'm talking to folks tonight who promised God to be a soul winner back yonder on a mount. You got down in the valley and you found some skirmishes and you fought some battles. You've been disobedient to the mount. I come back tonight to say with the Apostle Peter, who said 35 years after he ascended to Mount Tabor and saw our Lord's transfigured glory, Peter said, I'll not forget what happened in the mount. In the mount. Six things. First, obey your decision then. Keep on obeying. Obey. Let me say this. The question is not, what do I think now about then? The question is, what did I think then about then? Don't take the mountain experience out and examine it. You made your decision, follow it. You're a lot better off. You're a lot better off to follow the decision for a lifetime you made when you were spiritual and God took you to the mountaintop and you were there in a moment of ecstasy and surrender to God. You're a lot better off to obey that decision and make one now while you're in the valley. Rough times come. You started re-examining what happened in the mount. Don't do it. Don't do it. Lonely hours come. You start examining what happened in the mount. Don't do it. Don't do it. I've told you this time and time and time again. God spoke to my heart and told me that I was going to have to come to this area and pastor the First Baptist Church of Hammond. I announced to my people, Miller Road Baptist Church of Garland, Texas, that I was coming to Hammond. I knew I was making the right decision, no doubt about it. For weeks and weeks I prayed and wrestled with this thing, and I knew I was making the right decision, no doubt about it. But that night when I announced that I was resigning, I'd never seen a service like that. All of a sudden I could not speak and nobody else could speak. People just started crying. All over the house there was just nothing but weeping. And wailing, I mean that, mourning, moaning. And for 1 hour or so, nobody said a word except crying. Some people put their heads against the wall like this and wept. And some folks went outside and wept and came back in and there was nothing said. We just cried for about 1 hour. I mean that. The next morning, I woke up brokenhearted. And I felt like I shouldn't leave. I felt for the month that I remained there, gave months notice. I felt for that entire month I'd made a mistake, but I would not change my mind. Why? I got made the decision on the mount. Be faithful to the decision you made on the mount. That's the best decision. 10,000 times, brother, trust the decision made on the mountain when you can see forever. Make the decision when you get to the place you can't see your hands in front of you. Then you start doubting what happened on the mount. Don't forget. Be faithful to the decision you made on the mount. The Bible says the gifts and callings of God without repentance. Would some of these preachers that are running for governor explain to me that verse? Would some of these preachers running for senator, would they explain that verse to me? The gifts and the calling of God. Would some of these preachers who decided not to preach anymore and go out and make some money, would they explain that verse to me? Let me tell you something. The call that God gave you on the mount, it's irrevocable. Thus obey your decision then. Number two, you keep acting on that decision then. Keep acting on it. You keep fulfilling the decision you made. Don't make it again. Just keep, go ahead. Spend your lifetime. Your whole life. Peter, persecuted, but he remembered the mount. Peter, facing death, but remembered the mount. Peter, working hard in the valley of the shadow, but never forgot the mount. Loyal and faithful to the mount. I'm telling you, there are people every week of my life that come to my office and say, "Preacher, I think I made a mistake. Let me tell you something, my brother. When you get down in the valley and when the shadows come and you can't see a hand in front of you, don't you revoke the decision you made back yonder on the mount. Trust that one. And keep on acting on that decision." Many times I've wanted to quit. I mean that. Many times I've wanted to quit the ministry. But I cannot forget that night 41 years ago when God reached down and God said, "I want to put my hand on you and I want you to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Word of God." And many times I've wanted to quit, but my mind goes back. I know on the mountain I felt like I was called of God. I must not turn back. I must not quit. I must keep on going. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher place. Why? Back yonder, 41 years ago, I'm still obeying the decision and promises I made to God while I was on the mount. Number three, not only obey your decision then, keep acting on your decision then, but keep believing in your decision then. You know what? I've never one time. Now, I'm not against anybody that doubts their salvation. Not against it. Some good people have. And if you doubted your salvation, I'm not being critical of you. But I mean this. There's not been one single time in these 48 years that I can ever recall that I doubted the fact that I was saved. You know why? I'm not trusting my feeling. I'm trusting what happened on the mount. I'm not trusting emotion. I'm trusting what happened on the mount. God does not have to come and deliver me a message every day and tell me I'm still saved. I'm trusting what happened on the mount. Somebody told me on the mount that I was a sinner. Somebody told me on the mount that sinners were lost. Somebody told me on the mount that Jesus came, the virgin-born Son of God, and lived and loved and died as my substitute and my Savior. And somebody told me He rose again after 72 hours. And somebody told me if I'd trust Him, I could be saved. There on the mount, I looked up and said, "Jesus, I take you as mine. I trust you as my Savior. I don't have to have Him come every day and tell me I'm saved." I remember what happened on the mount. You know, I think sometimes we don't make enough to do about people getting saved. And because of that, the needle doesn't go deep enough in the record. And folks don't remember, especially little children. I mean, a little child comes and trusts Christ as his Savior. You feel in your heart the child is sincere. Make a big deal about it. Blow the horns, holler and shout and make a big deal. Have him call grandma and grandpa. Have him call his friends. Have him walk the aisle. Have a big meal when you get home in honor of his salvation. Listen! Catholics do that when a kid gets confirmed. Why can't Baptists do it when a kid gets saved? Make a big deal. Make the experience on the mount something you'll never forget. Keep believing your decision. When I see doubt coming my way, I go back to the mount. Sometimes I don't feel saved, but I go back to the mount. I'm not trusting my feeling. I'm not trusting my emotions. I'm trusting the fact on the mount I receive Christ as my Savior. Keep believing in your decision then on the mount. Number four, keep trusting in your spirituality then. Number one, obey your decision on the mount. Number two, keep acting on that decision on the mount. Number three, keep believing in that decision on the mount. Number four, you keep trusting the spirituality you had on the mount. You remember? You remember when you got real close to God? And you remember when you made the decision that affected your entire life? Remember that? And remember how happy you were? When you surrendered your life to the will of God, you have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and had earnestly, fervently prayed. But you can only be blessed and find peace and sweet rest when all on the altar is laid. And you said, Jesus, I'm laying all on the altar. Jesus, I and my cross have taken all to leave and follow Thee. And you remember that? Remember how sweet it was? The mountaintop. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I'm His own. And the joy we shared as we tarried there, none other has ever known. And there on the mount. Now you keep trusting your spirituality then. You're in fellowship with Christ then. Look, it's a sad commentary, but backslidden people make decisions to nullify decisions they made when they were spiritual. Go and get stuff. Don't trust your judgment. Trust the judgment you made on the mount. Feel like turning back? Don't trust your judgment. Trust the judgment you made on the mount. You hadn't faced the trials then that the call included. You hadn't carried then the burdens that the mount included. But now you're out yonder. You were lifted up on top of that mount. You looked and you saw the destination. And you said, that's what I want. That's what I want. But you didn't know. It looks awful close to a city when you're on the mountaintop. Doesn't look very far. When you're on the mountaintop looking to the destination there. When you're on the mountaintop and you see your destination across over there and it's rising high, the mountaintop's over here. It doesn't look very far. It's a little bit deceiving. There's an optical illusion there. And so you say, that's where I'm going. God is leading me over there. But on the journey, you have to go down in the valley. Sometimes the valley of illness. Sometimes the valley of unemployment. Sometimes the valley of discouragement. Sometimes the valley of heartache. Sometimes the valley of death. Sometimes the valley of loved ones taken prematurely. Sometimes the valley of an empty place at the table. Sometimes the valley of an empty place in bed. Sometimes the valley of a serious illness. Sometimes the valley of loneliness. Sometimes the valley of hunger. Sometimes the valley of unemployment. But let me tell you something, brother. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Him. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. I'll gladly run the race. I'm simply saying, when you get to the destination that you saw back yonder from the mount, and you get there, you will thank God you stuck with it in the valley. You will thank God as the underbrush came, you had to clear it out, and the burdens came, and you bent beneath the load, and you said, I ought to turn back. I want to go back. Oh, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, trust the decision you made on the mount. I look back here tonight, listening intently as he always does as a medical doctor. Medical doctor graduated from the University of Maryland. For 5 years he had his practice in the East. And God called that doctor to preach the gospel. And that medical doctor came, resigned, and sold out his business and has come to Howells Anderson College, and he'll be enrolling next month in Howells Anderson College to prepare to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He set his practice up here in this area now. I wonder how many times when the going gets tough, when he's a medical doctor, used to be there in his successful practice out on the East Coast in Maryland, I think. I wonder how many times when he flunks a Greek test, he's going to wonder if he made the right decision. I wonder how many times when illness comes to his wife and to his family, and all of a sudden he's in the valley. Wonder how many times he's going to say, I wish I had my practice back. I think I'll go back and practice again. Doc, keep your eyes on what happened on the mount. What happened on the mount. Be faithful to the decision you made on the mount. Keep fulfilling the obligations that were given you on the mount. Keep believing in the decision on the mount. Keep trusting your spirituality on the mount. Then number 5, keep remembering what you saw on the mount. Don't forget the glimpse of Jesus you saw. Don't forget the glimpse of the glory land that you saw. Ah, when you're down in the valley and the going gets rough and you wonder if you're going to make it. All you got to do is just turn around. If you're in the valley, turn around and look back where you were.
I want to tell you something, brother. Listen carefully. The only thing the mount's good for is a starter. It's a horrible place to return to. Don't go back to the mount. Don't go back to the mount. Because when you go back to the mount, you're as far from your destination as you were before you went to the mount. Just keep thinking and keep your eyes remembering what you saw. I saw the city. I saw Jesus. I saw His plan for my life. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. Time and time again, in moments of discouragement, I've gotten on my face and remembered that call of God and that promise to Almighty God I made 41 years ago. And I said, God, I'm not going to turn back on that promise. I made that vow when I was on the mount. And I don't care how many valleys, I don't care how many battles I've got to fight or face. I'm pressing on. Why? Because I made God a vow on the mount. Peter said, on the mount. That's the problem Jacob had. Jacob went to the mount of Bethel, but he got away from it. He forgot it, lost his loyalty to it. And Jacob never did amount to anything till he got back and kept the decision that he made while he was on the mount. Paul said, I cannot be disobedient to heavenly vision. And Paul kept on telling about what happened on the mount. What happened on the mount? What happened on the mount? He told about it over and over again. Why? He must not forget it. He must not forget it. Number six and last. Not only obey the decision you made on the mount. Keep acting on that decision you made on the mount. Keep believing in that decision you made on the mount. Keep trusting that decision you made on the mount. Keep remembering that decision you made on the mount. But keep telling that decision you made on the mount. The more you tell it, the more you'll like it. Once in a while, somebody will say to me, when are you going to quit hearing about little Jackie boy? Whenever you get earplugs. Yeah. Yeah. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Listen, I feel saved now, but I'm not trusting my feeling, the thing feeling saved now. I'll trust my entire eternity on what happened to me when I was an 11-year-old lad. And I got on my knees and said, Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost. I know Jesus died and paid the penalty for my sins. And I trust Him as my Savior and my hope for heaven. And brother, I got on the wagon. It's nonstop. My fellow said, I want to get off. It's too late now. You should have thought about that before you got on. No stops. I'm trusting it. I'm trusting that little time when I knelt barefoot on a Sunday night. My mama had been beaten unmercifully by my daddy on Saturday night, and then Sunday night I got saved. But Saturday night my daddy had come in late at night, about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Taking his fist and beating my mama. I cowered in the corner. And I said, that's not right. And I said, one of these days I'm going to grow up and get a job. I'm going to make some money. And I'm going to make a queen out of that woman. I grew up. I got a job. And I do get a salary. But I found I couldn't make a queen out of her because I found she was already a queen. I just bought a crown to put on her brow. That's all. That night, that morning, at the Fernwood Baptist Church, I was standing on the seat of a little bitty fellow and stood up on the seat during the prayer. And my pastor, a big old tall fellow about the size of Joe Boyd, 6'4", 200-some-odd pounds, a giant of a man, is having the offertory prayer. And I was looking around. I didn't have my head bowed. I was looking around, standing on the seat over there during the prayer. And my pastor said, Dear God, bless, I pray, the service this morning. And dear God, I pray You'd save little Jackie boy. I couldn't believe what I heard. I could not believe what I heard. My pastor prayed for God to save me. Then somebody told me that afternoon that the WMS of the church had a special meeting, a call meeting, unscheduled one that week. And the purpose of that meeting was to pray for little Jackie Boy Hiles that he'd be saved. And that morning, Mrs. Hazelwood, a little short lady, about that tall, round little hamburger stand, not as big as this little place where the piano is over here. You went up to the window and bought a hamburger, and she pushed it out the window. And Mrs. Hazelwood A little white-haired, short lady walked up to me and she said, "Jack," she said, "we're praying for you." And all afternoon I thought about that. To think the pastor would call my name publicly in prayer. To think that the WMS would have a special meeting just to pray for my salvation. To think that Mrs. Hazelwood cared about me. Best hamburger maker in all that neighborhood. And that night, walking out toward the back, between the services, having an outdoor service that night, I knelt. And I said, "Dear God, if you'll take a poor little boy whose daddy is a drunkard, I'll take you as my Savior." I've never got my eyes off that. That's the mount for me. I'll never forget it. I don't need anything else. That's all I need. The mount. Many a night in a lonely room. You see, if you travel once every 6 months, it's fun. If you travel once a month, it's a nice little diversion. But you try it for 30 years, every Monday, nearly 30 years, you try it. And many a night in a motel, maybe Dave was playing a basketball game, or maybe one of the girls was having a piano recital, and I'd be sitting in a motel room, thanking God I didn't have to go to that stupid piano recital. I'd be sitting in a motel room many a night, and I'd say, "This is no way to live." A man walked up to me one day and said, "I'll give you $250,000 a year salary if you'll just let me use your name. If you quit your church, let me use your name. I'll give you $250,000 a year salary." I thought, boy, that'd be good. How long does it take me to make $250,000? But I always look back to the mount. I must be faithful to the mount. They're bringing the tree. They just chopped it down. It's been a long time since he fished on the Galilean waters. It's been a long time since the Savior came and said, "Leave all, Peter, and follow me." It's been a long time since Jesus washed his feet with his own precious hands that soon to be scarred by nails. It's been a long time since he looked up and saw his Savior dying on the cross. It's been a long time since he rushed with John and found the sepulcher and the grave was empty and Jesus was not there. It's been 35 long years. Many a lonely night. Many a heartache. Many a burden. Many a sorrow. Many a lonely moment. Peter's about to die. Peter said, "The thing that's kept me going all these years is what I saw on the mount." I want to tell you something, folks. You better trust that mount. You better trust the mount. I'm talking to folks tonight all over this room. Doubted your mount. You need to trust your mount. Trust your mount. Obey it. Act on it. Believe in it. Trust it. Remember it. Keep talking about it. Be faithful to the mount. Our Heavenly Father.